Hi, Marty Lurie, KMBR 680, with one of the hitting coaches and a longtime San Francisco Giant, that's Steve Decker. Nice to have you on the show. I haven't talked to you too much this year.
Yeah, it was spring training, I think, is the last time maybe we talked. And I see you out here every day, and I always enjoy talking to you. It's not always on the air, but you know I enjoy talking to you all the time.
Well, I always appreciate your baseball knowledge. A couple of things came up on the show this weekend that I thought I'd run it by you. Of course, Derek Jeter had his number retired and wrote a nice tribute on the Players Tribune to the fans in New York. Did you see Jeter play at all?
Oh, I played against him. I played 1 year in the American League. I was with the Angels. And you know what I always thought? You know, I was always a National League guy and bounced around a few National League clubs. But he was bigger than I thought when I first played against him. You know, he's a tall, athletic guy. And sometimes, you know, TV makes guys look bigger, but other times you just don't notice. And then all of a sudden I saw him live, and I was like, ah, this is a pretty good-sized guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pretty good shortstop. 3,400 hits and more. All right, but reading some of the items that were written over that weekend, there was something about Jorge Posada and Yogi Berra talked. And Yogi was talking to Posada, and Posada said, Yogi, how come you were such a good hitter? And, of course, Yogi could hit anything. Yogi said, I used to watch the pitchers. I used to watch the pitchers between innings. I used to see what they worked on between innings because that told me something of what they were having trouble with or what they liked to throw. And then when I went up there, I had an idea. And I said, well, I got to talk to Steve Decker, a catcher, and find out what do pitchers do between innings, and is that true?
Oh, you know what the magic word was. You said it. He watched. He paid attention. He learned. Whether that's a strength or a weakness, he picked up. But guys that are really, really good at this game, they watch. They listen. Nothing gets by them. They'll watch him in the bullpen. Okay, he's bouncing his breaking ball. They might eliminate a pitch. Okay, you know what? He's a hard thrower. He's tilting his head to his left. His arm's a little late, and he's going to elevate up and in. You know, you look for all these tells, and I guess it's like a good poker game. You know, say that guy gives you any information to use, and it's always going to be an educated guess. But the more information you have to, like I said, to either look for a certain area, a certain pitch, or maybe eliminate something, gives you that edge.
Well, as Yogi said, I would watch the pitcher between innings. Now, you're a catcher. You've warmed up a lot of people. What do pitchers do, and there are 8 warm-up tosses between innings? Is there a pattern?
Well, that's a very good question. Most of them now throw more than 8 pitches because they have that a lot of time, a minute and a half, or is it 2 minutes from when they open the gate or something. But yeah, the guy's hustling. They'll throw more than 8. But normally they'll start off and try to get the feel for the mound because sometimes the mounds from the bullpen might be different when they come into the game mound. So you watch them warm up, and they're going to warm up with that fastball away. And then the first thing we're looking for is his arm late. Can he get to that outside corner? Is he yanking it? Is he timing there? So the guy usually has the outside corner. You can reach for that outside corner. And me as a catcher, I'm trying to get this out of the pitcher. Then it sets up the rest of the pitches because your release point's out front. And so your hand position to your release point is able to command the ball, not just throw a strike, but throw a quality pitch, maybe on the outside corner, maybe down if a young hitter's chasing him, maybe elevating up and in on the hands without hitting a guy. So that pitcher's usually trying to get to that outside corner, get that release point down with his timing, maybe a stride length, controlling his breathing. Most of them are a little too amped up once they come in from the bullpen. So, you know, they're trying to get all this stuff, and the pitchers or the hitters are trying to say, okay, here's a for instance last night, and I'm going to jump to a kind of a little different angle of it. Relief pitcher comes in. Look at the chart in my hand real quick. Okay, this was most likely going to throw. But if he's having trouble with it, he'll throw it more. Trying to get it. You know what? Hey, guys, he's bouncing this breaking ball. Just eliminate it. We're really going to hunt fastball, commit to the front, and just take the breaking ball. You know, okay, RBI situation, the guy might come in with runners on base that's a left-handed specialist. You're going to see him trying to get that breaking ball over, get that feel for that breaking ball. So we might throw a number out. Hey, watch this guy warm up. Now, 70% of the time, it's going to be a first-pitch slider. You know, so you're just trying to get these little edges, and as he's warming up, can he throw a first strike? And then there's some guys that just break all the rules, Marty. They pitched in the league for 11 years. They warm up terrible. You say, hey, this guy can't throw a strike. Next thing you know, he's painting the black on every pitch.
All right. Great baseball with Steve Decker. Right now, but you've you've warmed up pitchers. And, you know, let's go back to some of the, let's think of a couple you've warmed up. And now we're talking between the second and third inning. And you're warming up a pitcher. Now, are you thinking of warming him up a certain way? Give me a for instance.
Yeah, and most of the time I'm going to talk to him in the dugout before the fact. Then we're going to go out and I'm going to say, I might say to you, hey, Marty, let's not give up on that breaking ball. Let's warm up and throw some extra breaking balls this next inning. Or you know what? I'm going to give you a low inside target, and I want you to really either hit my shin guard or hit my glove. We got to get that sinker going. If we don't get some first pitch outs here, you're not going to get in the sixth or seventh inning and get a decision. You're going to be out there because your pitch count's getting up. So we need some first pitch outs. So let's go to work next inning and get that first pitch out. Another thing that was a key for me is during the inning, if I ask for a pitch, a ball in a certain area, and we got an out on that ball, say fly ball to center field, I would do this curl move on my jog along the mound and back on my way back to the catcher, and I might yell over at him and say, hey, come on now, you're better than that. That's not where we wanted that pitch. Or I might come out in front of the plate in between innings, give him a fist pump, and say, hey, that's right, that's where we want to be, right there. Let's go. You know, so there's a reward, and there's also an accountability there that a good catcher will do with each pitcher.
So give me some of the pitchers you would do that with. You caught for a long time.
Oh, you know, there's a lot of guys. John Burkett was one of my favorite guys to catch. Rodney Beck, Mark Gardner. You know, I caught Rigetti at the end of his career when I was coming up as a young guy. Rick Rushel. And then you learn, you know, who Don Robinson scared me all the time, so I really didn't say too much to him. I'm more listening than talking. But the younger guys, you know, the stuff guys, the Pat Rapps, you know, multiple pitchers. Then you got your professional guys that you might just say, hey, let's get back to what you do well. You know, we're getting too wrapped up in what you're trying to get the hitter out and tricking him, and we're getting away from what you do well. You know, so let's establish that fastball away, or let's get that breaking ball over behind in the count when we need to, and get back to doing what we do.
All right, great to talk. I love talking baseball with Steve Decker. All right. The game has turned into a walk, a strikeout, and a home run. And you talk about, you know, Rob Manfred and what they want. They want the ball in play. They want action and all this kind of stuff. Is a strikeout sort of accepted now? I mean, it's not a productive out. We look at productive outs that win games. Are strikeouts all of a sudden accepted?
You know, I think that the statistical guys are saying it is. Not in my book. I don't like it. Now, we're winning by 3 runs, man on first, 2 outs. And I got some strength as a hitter. We have a strong guy up there that can leave the ballpark. I don't mind a strikeout.
Okay.
Tie ball game, leading off an inning, I want that ball put in play. You know, so the scoreboard, you know, and when I first got up here with this coaching staff, listening to Flan at third base, everything is dictated by the scoreboard. Just look at the scoreboard. That's the plan. And so even as a hitter, you look up there and what am I doing? You know, you're talking to a young guy, Arroyo, the other day, we're on a 2-2 game, and hey, you know what? You have never seen this guy go up there and work the count. Let's go. Get into this at bat. Get on base any way you can. Feldman the other day, Panic was didn't seem real good in Cincinnati. I said, hey, we're talking in the cage, and he said, hey, Joe, you know, if you're having trouble seeing this guy because the shadows, we had a 4 o'clock start, and he laid down a bunt because he was having trouble seeing. I think the league bunted like 6:30 against Feldman in his career. So Joe goes, oh, really? And laid down a bunt for a hit.
Very good.
So sometimes, you know, when you're telling a guy, hey, just get on base any way you can, a bunt, a single, a walk, leading off the inning, I think is very important. I'm not a big strikeout guy unless it dictates that, hey, we're looking to drive a ball.
Okay. No, very good point. Yeah, if you want to drive it, you can accept it. If you want to move a guy from second to third, does not work. All right, the other thing that came up on the show, and again, talking with Steve Decker, hitting 3-0. Do you like hitters hitting 3-0? Do your hitters hit 3-0? Is there a take sign on this club? How do they do with 3-0?
Well, our best hitter 3-0 is Brandon Crawford by far. He's a guy that doesn't deviate from his pitch much, 3-0. The worst thing you want to see 3-0 or 3-1 is that a guy leaves his hot zone or his hot area and puts a ball in play, we'll say a pitcher's zone. So he's really our best guy. I love it. I think that it gives a guy confidence to say, hey, I trust you. You know, but we're looking for an extra base hit. We're looking to be at the front of the plate, and we're looking to drive a ball in a gap. That doesn't mean pull the ball all the time, but we're looking to drive a ball in a gap. And a funny story, I was coaching third last year when Roberto got hit and ahead in between innings in L.A., and it was 3-0, and Brandon Crawford hits the ball off the right field wall, and he comes over to third base, and he goes, "Hey, Deck, did you see what pitch I hit?" I said, "You hit a fastball, didn't you?" And he goes, "No, I hit a curveball. I was sitting on it, 3-0, from Bollinger, was that? Had a notorious, I guess it did it to him before. Yeah, Bollinger. And he did it to him before, somewhere years ago. Yeah. And he sat on it 3-0 and hit it off the wall. So really, you know, there's, you know, sometimes you take a good rip at a pitcher and he'll walk you just because you took a good aggressive swing. Yeah. So the next one, they don't want to mess around with you. So and it's the manager's field to turn a guy loose and say, "Hey, I trust you. Here you go. Take a 3-0. But on our team, our best guy is Brandon Crawford.
Well, that's a good point. That's right. The pitcher says, "Wow, he swung real hard. I better be careful. And before you know it, it's ball four." Yeah. I learned something right there. Very good. Some hitters don't like the 3-0. It's too much pressure.
No.
What about you?
No. I tell you, I didn't have any problem. I looked down there, and he gave me the green light. I was sitting one zone for me, middle in, above the knee line. And I was looking pole side gap, adjust foul pole, and just committing to the front like there's an imaginary tee there. I already knew where I was going. And if it was anything away, you know, this lane or this line was away, you know, check your swing, stop, and go to first base. So I liked it personally, myself. One of the things that I learned early in my career, that when I did have the take, say I looked down there and the manager put the take on, is to still time the pitch. Some guys would just stand there and take it, and I felt like when I did that, it messed my timing up 3-1. So I really, even though I might not have been swinging, really focus on my timing of my take on that 3-0 pitch to help me 3-1.
Oh, great. Great talking ball with you. Wow, a pleasure. We'll catch up again. The key to this is watch the game.
Absolutely, Marty. That's what I do. I'm on the railing. I'm watching as much as I can.
All right. Nice having you on, Steve. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Marty.
More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.